Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So you were investigating Aaron Boone's Wikipedia page in the break because you're thinking that you're trying to find every bit of information on him to see if he'd want to go to California and manage the San Diego Padres as opposed to staying here as a Yankees manager. And now that they have fired, and if you missed it yesterday, the Yankees fired Phil Nevin, the third base coach.
They didn't fire him. They didn't re-up them.
Same ass thing, man. You're not coming back. Get out.
Right.
Get out. You suck. And then also Marcus Timms is the other guy that they're not bringing back. The hitting coach and the assistant hitting coach. So you've been looking and scouring on every piece of information on Aaron Boone to see if you'd want to go back to California. What'd you find?
Well, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, it says that he lives in Scottsdale, Arizona in the offseason. I don't know if he does or not. He may be living up in Greenwich. Who knows? I'm not sure. Huh. I know they have four kids.
Can you trust Wikipedia these
days? No, you really can't. They also say that he's a descendant of Daniel Boone.
Is he?
I mean, the Boone family is baseball through and through. You know, yeah. And if he's a California kid, you know, because his dad was playing out there, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, the amount of like anxiety and things that go on around here, this is like why people would want to leave and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just let go of some of the guys that, you know, he's been close to on this team, on the coaching staff. And is he going to be allowed to hire the replacements, or is Brian Cashman hiring the replacements, or does he have to get used to new guys in that building? And, you know, what does it do to the relationship and trust factor between, you know, the people running the team, that kind of thing?
Yeah, this is true, that Aaron Boone is a descendant of Daniel Boone. He is his six-time great-grandfather.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Six-time great-grandfather. The famous pioneer, Daniel Boone.
Daniel Boone was a man.
I mean, you can't get more, like, American than that, can you?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so. Yeah, I don't know, man. They're bringing back Aaron Boone. That's what's happening.
Right.
They fired some guys of the coaching staff. That was the blood that you were talking about. Brian Cashman is staying. Aaron Boone's going to get a contract. It's probably going to be for 2 years, and then he's going to be here for a little bit. So let's not act as if that now all of a sudden Aaron Boone's not going to come back. I think he's definitely going to be coming back, and I think this was the minor changes that they're going to have. As far as their organizational structure, they might get even more analytical now because the two guys they let go of were not the most analytical guys. So they could get even more analytical. And then what they're going to do to really change the team is go out there and maybe have an offseason. That's what I think is
going to happen. That's right. So you have the Cardinal job open right now.
Yeah, the Padre job.
And the Padre job open right now.
And the Yankee job not really open right now.
Right. Well,
what's the best job of those three if all of them were open?
I mean, in terms of living and young athletes and big money guys and stars, I know the Cardinals, I know, have a great history and a great fan base and everything else, but man, like going to Petco Park and living out there and having that team
is pretty
amazing.
All right, let's go to Mike in Wisconsin. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's
Mikey
up, man?
Mike, what's happening, brother?
All right. I didn't need to get on the air. I just saw in the paper today. Tomorrow, big football game, undefeated. Despite the Red, well, not the Redmen anymore, and the Sayville
Flash. Golden Flashes, that's right.
Yeah, 5-0 versus 5-0, that's right.
Yeah. I just know if you guys are going to have a little friendly wager on that game.
Well, you know, Gio lives in Sayville, but he didn't go to Sayville. So I know he's trying to ingratiate himself into the entire community.
Well,
now.
Why not?
I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but
yeah.
you want to have a – I'm not betting on a high school football game. I'm sorry.
Even a friendly bet? I mean, it's not like we're going to go like $2,000 or something stupid.
Yeah.
Friendly bet?
What does FanDuel say?
You know what? If I'd have to put a line on it, I'd say probably Sayville minus 5.5.
You know, East Islip hasn't scored less than 33 points in each of their five games.
And what about Sayville?
Sayville, I'm not really sure. Yeah, I guess I'll check.
Yeah, click on them and let's see.
All right.
So there are three in the Newsday. Two of the three reporters are picking East Islip.
Oh, really? Sarah picked East Islip.
Boston picked East Islip, and then Roger Rubin picked Sayville.
So let me see. Sayville. Well, they beat Comstock 9-3.
Okay,
but every other score is 35 or more.
Yeah,
so this is going to be a high scoring game. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. This is a huge game. I'm going to have to go to this game.
This is a huge game. Yes.
This is a big deal. I'm going to have to. It's right. All I have to do is walk right down the street. Go to see this game.
2:00 Saturday.
2:00 Saturday.
Yes,
I know. And you got other commitments, so you can't.
Right.
Join me, but maybe I'll go to the game. I'll take the whole family up there to the game, as long as it's not pouring rain. But all right, what's the wager then?
We'll think of something.
Golden flashes, baby. Golden flashes.
How about dinner at Teller's?
Okay, I like that. I like that.
Okay,
shake on
or the Lake House.
Yeah, okay, we could do that.
Which one?
Well, yeah, we can go back to the Lake House and see our friends. We could do that. It's a little. I mean, Teller's can. Run a nice bill up there.
All right, we'll do
Teller's Lake House.
I'll tell you what. If you win, I'll take you to the Lake House.
Wait a second.
Take me to Teller's.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, are there guests coming with us?
Maybe we'll take our high school coaches. Reminisce. Sal and Joe. And they could fight over each other, fight with each other.
Oh, my goodness. That would be amazing.
Right.
All right. Look, that'd be a nice thing.
Yes.
Take them out.
Yeah.
Why am I getting the bigger one, though? I don't think that's right. Because you're the
Teller's
favorite.
Is more expensive.
Yeah, you got the favorite.
Yeah, but they're playing in your hometown.
Why don't we just make it Teller's, Lake House?
All right, fine.
Let's just do that.
Okay.
Well, the restaurant to be determined. How does that sound?
TBD.
But one of those two, dinner.
We'll take out our high school coaches, yeah.
All right, perfect. I'm in. I can't believe they're picking these games in the Newsday now.
Yeah, they've been doing that for years.
Oh, I don't actually get the Newsday anymore, so.
Yeah, no, they do.
Wow. It's picking the games. Let's go. Yeah, walk up there, take the whole family. You know, my daughters are going to be golden flashes.
Are you trying to ruin my Friday?
What?
Eddie.
I'm just saying.
He was in my ear about something. And, you know, I don't want to bring it on the air, but he's just trying to ruin my Friday.
Oh, that's right. That's a good call. I wish I could talk about this on the air.
Just like the last time.
Oh, God. You're so right about this. Tony joins us on the fan. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, gentlemen. I know it's football Friday, but you were discussing Aaron Boone. And
yes, sir.
But let's just say he decides to go, and he wants to go to San Diego. And you say, well, who would you want to replace him? And there's only one guy who we, as Yankee fans, would want to take his place. And that guy is Don Mattingly.
Now, Tony, do you want him to take Aaron Boone's place because of the nostalgia of it or because you think Don Mattingly is a great manager?
I just think Don Mattingly would coach the game without the analytics nonsense.
Well, but
So, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
I get you. He's not going to fit in, but he's the guy as a Yankee fan. That's the guy I want.
Yeah, I also – all right, so we appreciate that, but I also don't see, like, you know, Brian Cashman bringing back a Yankee legend to be the manager.
I mean
– got to insulate your own job first.
Yeah, I mean that – well, he wants to get the best guy for the job, but I don't know. If I'm Don Mattingly, I don't know if I want to do that either. I really don't. I never thought – I just – when the legend goes back to the place
and
ends up having a different job, I think that's always dangerous. Now, John Elway was able to go there and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, as he got Peyton Manning as a quarterback.
Yeah, but
how's he doing since Peyton Manning left?
Terrible.
Right, exactly.
And then people like, you know, fire Elway, Elway suck. And then it's like, wait a second. No, you're not. Bronco fans aren't supposed to be mad at John Elway ever, you know?
So well, that's why strange. You want to kind of be like Dan Marino. You don't want to be the guy out there picking the players. You want to be the guy that is the legendary player that represents a pastime and a connection between the older Dolphin fan and the younger Dolphin fan.
Like, thank God Dan Marino stepped down from that job there with the Dolphins. Oh, my God. It was the smartest thing he ever did.
Who do you think told him to do that?
Told him to step down?
Yeah.
You told him to step down?
I told him, don't take it in the first place.
But then he took it, so he didn't listen.
Yeah, and then I called him, and he was sitting on a bench in Mobile, Alabama, with rain pelting down and everything else.
At the Senior Bowl.
And I'm like, dude, you can come back. You can come back and work with CBS with us. And he did.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a bad
idea. I mean,
that's
something like I could see Phil Simms doing.
Oh, he loved it. It's what he does now without getting paid for it. Crazy.
Phil Simms would love doing that.
Sure.
Man, he loves looking at like big, thick some bitches and, you know, and tights and crap. And look at that guy's lower half. And look at that guy throwing with power.
I like him big and thick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, he does. That,
I mean,
that.
He lives for that stuff. He and his son Matt, and they work out all those high school kids and all those other quarterbacks over here.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing he loves.
What's Danny doing these days?
Danny's working for Stephen Ross and the Dolphins.
Oh, okay. Oh, he is.
He's in the front office. Yeah, 100%.
But he's like sort of figurehead type of thing.
Not figurehead. I mean, he's Dan Marino, for God's sake.
You know what I mean. He's just walking around, shaking
hands.
Comes in, sits in an office, just looks around.
Right. Yeah.
And be Dan Marino.
Yeah, just show up, be Dan Marino, and we'll pay you unbelievable.
Being Dan Marino ain't a bad thing.
It's not. It's what we're saying.
Exactly.
We're not to do anything but be Dan Marino.
He ain't getting up at 4:15 in the morning doing a radio show, that's for sure.
Who's the sucker now?
Yeah.
Dale's in Shoreham. What's going on, Dale?
Hey, guys. What's up? The Sayville East Iceland game has a little bit of controversy surrounding it.
Get out of here. Really?
Yeah, it's in today's Newsday.
Shocker.
Apparently, Sayville's been playing some of their games on a Town of Iceland turf field, and they chose this Saturday to play at home, which is their choice, on their grass field.
Now, they're trying to slow down East Iceland. I see what's going on here. Gamesmanship.
Wait a second. Hold on. What field are they playing on? They're not playing on the normal field they play on?
They're playing on the Sayville normal home field. But apparently, according to Newsday, they've been playing some home games at a Town of Iceland turf field.
Because the field I know that they play at is a turf field.
All right, so why is Sal? Yeah, okay, but at their home field on their campus is what, grass?
Grass, I'd say.
Oh, they're playing at the field at the high school.
Yes, yes.
Because there is a field that they play at.
That's what Dale is saying.
That's right down the block from me.
Right.
That is a turf field that I see every day driving
home.
But
it's a homecoming game, and they want to have it at the high school, I'm assuming.
Yes, that is correct.
And Sal Jr. is PO'd at what?
The fact that now his team has been playing on turf fields all year.
Yeah.
You know, East Iceland's turf, and most of the Division III fields.
You know, we just got turf. It wasn't like we've been playing on turf for the last 20 years. I mean, it was like the last two years.
Turf shoes, they got to go out and buy grass shoes.
Oh, buy grass shoes. All right, no problem. We get them grass shoes. whatever Sal needs, Sal can get. We can get it for him. Just call Richie. We got it down. We got it on lockdown.
Go for it.
Well, okay, good. Well, Sal hasn't called me to complain about it. If he needs shoes, all he's do is call Richie. He's got shoes. He's got Under Armour shoes tomorrow.
No. Well, you can't get involved in this now. You made a bet with me. You can't now help them out.
Help them out. They need shoes. I'm going to get them shoes.
No. That's not the way it works. That now you're inserting yourself into the wager.
Yeah, but I didn't know about all this.
You're now fixing games.
No, I'm not fixing anything. I'm just making sure that my team has a fair shake. I see what's going on here now.
Well, get them on the phone.
This is all about gamesmanship. And who's the Sabo coach?
I'm not sure. I don't know his name.
Okay.
I know the Belfort
coach.
He's a
good guy. He's had a great program there.
Yeah, no, they've been great.
Yeah, they have been great.
I apologize. I don't know the Sable coach's name.
All right, but you should know that.
Does it say it there on the website?
This seems like a little gamesmanship on the part of Sayville.
But it's a homecoming game.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me though. It's the way you guys are.
The way we are.
But then again, we're not making any excuses. No excuses. Well, I'll send him shoes. Let's go.
We're not sending them shoes.
We're not making an excuse about anything.
You send him shoes. I'm buying him new shoulder pads.
Could you imagine if like I went to Sal Champion back in the day and said, "Oh, we're playing on turf. I need turf." He says, "Shut up."
Yeah, right. Exactly. Grass shoes, turf shoes. We'll play barefoot.
We don't care. That's the mantra. We don't care. We'll play you anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter.
I remember Coach Sipp when he saw a guy who would like not want to take a hit or something, or he felt like wasn't giving his all because he was afraid to get hit.
Yeah.
He would always make up these ridiculous dollar amounts for how much the equipment cost.
Yeah.
You go, you know, you're in there. You got a $10,000 helmet. You got $4,000 shoulder pads. Okay. You know, your knee pads are $450 a piece. I'm like, no, they're not. Oh, so one of the kids was like, is he for real? Because I'll quit right now and sell this. Like, if my shoulder pads are $10,000, then I'll, like, you know, I'll go sell them.
So I guess the head coach is Reed Sands.
Reed Sands. Okay.
Right.
Coach
head
Sands.
Football coach at Sable High School.
All right. Very good. Coach Sands, my guy.
That's your guy. Now.
That's my guy, Reed Sands.
Yeah, of course, we're playing on grass now. Go get new shoes. Hey, don't worry about it.
Hey, I love the decision.
Guess what? They're going to show up with the best looking shoes ever.
Game's tomorrow, man. I don't know how you're getting these shoes there.
Sal took care of it already, I'm sure.
Oh, did he?
Of course he has to. Your
move
coach.
The game back. Coach Sands, we're moving the game back to the turf field. Little sorry, little news flash for
but
you.
But you know what's going to happen now. This is pregame speech stuff.
You think it's because they moved this game?
Yeah, 100%.
And they're trying to mess with you.
100%.
Nobody messes with us.
Exactly. That's exactly. You don't think that would be the case?
Yeah, of course it's going to be. It's all whatever it is.
What you got to find something.
Yeah,
and you got to create that edge. But the boys, have got to remain poised. Like you play with passion, you play with edge, but you got to play with poise.
Like when one of the assistant coaches drew the lion on the outside of our locker room door and said it was West Islip that did it. It was like a 3-year-old drawing of a lion.
Well, that fits,
was standing up that like
fits,
this.
It fits a West Islip football kid, no?
Like, look what they did. It was the worst drawing. It didn't have a mane. It was standing up there. Oh, God. I love this. I'm into this now.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. I have a Sable football hat. That's all I've got. If I had, I'd have the full regalia if I could show up there in straight purple and yellow. Well, I got Viking stuff I could wear, I guess.
I guess you could, yeah.
Fit in. Because they're purple and yellow.
Yeah, I know. You could be like maybe the mascot or something.
Purple and gold, I should say. I'd be the mascot for this game. A lightning bolt.
A lightning bolt?
Yeah. See, what are they called now, East Islip? What did they change your name to?
Not sure.
Because sometimes you got to go with, like, mascots.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you nothing's beating electricity. So.
It's the East Islip football team.
That's what it is?
Yeah, EFT.
The EFT?
EIFT.
EIFT?
Yes. I don't know.
You don't know what they changed it to?
I did not embroil myself in that controversy. So.
Well, even if they were still the Redmen, the Lightning Bolt would win. There's no doubt about it. Find me something that's beating a Lightning Bolt. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right. Saturday. I'll see you there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
We're talking about this big East Islip Sayville Battle of the Unbeatens high school football game with Boomer growing up in East Islip and me currently living in Sayville, and we made a dinner bet about it. Here's something I found out, because apparently Sal Champion Jr. really pissed off that they moved the game from a turf field that they normally play
we
on.
We don't know that he is.
Oh, they wrote about it in Newsday. I saw it. Turned into turf war. I just read about it.
Oh, okay.
So he's pissed off.
Yeah.
So they moved the game, apparently, from the turf field to a grass field. But my sources are telling me that because the turf field that they have, that they normally play on, since they normally play on Friday nights, is built east-west.
Oh, who builds the field east-west?
It builds east-west that
Nobody
they only play.
Nobody builds a field east-west. There's something wrong with you if you're building a field. Where is this, in Sayville?
Yeah, it is an east-west field. It's east-west.
Yeah, we don't do that in east
That they only do night games there, and this is a day game. So that's why they moved it to the north-south field, which is the grass field. So it has nothing to do with gamesmanship. It just has everything to do with, weather patterns and sun. And
who
sun.
Made the decision to build a field east-west?
I don't know. Somebody. But they built it east-west, and they pack it out on Friday nights. That's what they do.
Everybody
Big deal.
Knows you don't build a field east-west.
Well, they did. So I don't know what you want from me, but they did it.
So it's an east-west sun problem.
It's an east-west. That's why the gate. Yeah, it's east-west
that has
sun.
Nothing to do with the grass and maybe trying to slow down the speed demons that is East Islip football.
No, Sayville's plenty fast.
Okay,
come on. All right, we are going to give away these Bill Burr tickets in about 10 minutes or less. And we got our picks after that. Jerry Recco is here now with the update. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And really, all season long, not many teams beat the Giants, but the Dodgers figure out how to in a fifth and deciding game.
Here comes a 1-2 from Duvall. Lines one in the right center field for a base hit. Turner will score. Lux is on his way to third. Bellinger, with the biggest hit of his career, has just given the Dodgers a 2-1 lead.
Did so in the top of the ninth inning. Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio, and that would be that. Max Scherzer would close it out in the bottom half, and the Dodgers take game 5 2-1, and they advance into NLCS. A little bit of controversy, of course, with the Wilmer Flores strike 3 rung up on the check swing that ended the game when replays clearly showed he did not. Here was Gabe Kapler.
It's just a tough way to end it. There's no, for especially right now, there's no need to, be angry about that.
Well, I think we all disagree. Here was Bellinger on TBS talking about the big at bat he had.
I was down 2 strikes, and I just tried to stay within my approach. I felt good the previous 3 or 4 pitches I saw. I just missed them, and that time I just stayed a little more simpler and got the job done right there.
He sure did. And so the Dodgers, 106 wins on the season. They take 3-2 as they do move on. Kenley Jansen, by the way, he was good in the series, Boomer. He had 1-2-3 eighth inning last night, got the win. Scherzer, his first career save. Game 1, L.A. and Atlanta will be tomorrow. Tonight you got Game 1 ALCS between the Red Sox and Astros. That will be in Houston. And the Yankees starting to make moves as they decide not to renew the contracts of Phil Nevin and Marcus Thames. I think a lot of us thought Nevin was on his way out after what happened in Boston, but that was decided yesterday. And there is a manager that is available. Anybody can sign him. Mike Schilt, as the Cardinals say, see ya, despite a 90-72
record. Wasn't Al trying to get Mike Schilt to manage the Mets or something?
Oh, you know what? I did a poll.
You want to see how your poll turned out, Jerry?
Yeah, you have it there?
I do.
I think it stayed pretty much where it was, I think.
So your question was, if fired Cardinals manager Mike Schilt a good fit for the Mets? Is he a good fit for the Mets? 43% said yes.
Yeah, I thought that would be a lot lower.
Hmm.
The problem with this poll, though, as I said, not everybody's a Met fan. And I think people that hate the Mets are going to say yes.
Or
Schilt.
Is that, you're a Met fan. Does that excite you?
No.
Right.
Absolutely not.
I would have
very
to see.
Very few managers would excite me.
I would have to see some post-game press conferences and see what he looks like and what he sounds like and determine whether or not he can handle this fan base.
Well, St. Louis is definitely different from New York.
And
that's
the media
for sure.
Here.
Yeah, I would just hire Wally Backman, personally. Kidding. I'm not.
Oh,
I'm not serious.
No,
it's because overnight callers, they still are calling for Wally Backman. It's ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like Wally's fire. I mean, we saw that in the minor leagues when he was dropping F-bombs.
it's some of the funniest stuff ever, but come on.
Yeah, so Schilt is out there, and Tony La Russa stays employed. He will be back with the White Sox. after a really solid season this year. All right, Thursday night football, Bucks, Eagles. Tom Brady wins again.
Here is the snap. Brady, play action fake, dropping, flushed out of the pocket. Looks toward you, throws a ball, caught ball at the five. Antonio Brown, touchdown Tampa Bay. He made the catch, did a pirouette at the five, and dove into the end zone. And the Bucks take the lead.
It's almost like he doesn't finish his words.
Like I always say, chest up, eyes up, pray up.
Go Bucks. That's right. That was Antonio Brown with the touchdown catch and the sound right there. Part of a 28-22 win for Tampa, who are now 5-1.
I mean, Brady, how does Antonio Brown get that wide open?
Well, they don't think he's going to throw it to him.
I mean, he's standing in the middle of the field. And there isn't anybody within 20 yards of him.
Genius play design. That's what I say.
Perhaps it was. He had 9 catches for, I say it's working out, 9 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. Here is Jalen Hurts. He missed on a lot. He was just, where are the numbers here for Hurts? He was not good. 12 of 26, 115 yards, although he did run for a couple of scores. Here was Hurts.
I know I hold myself to a high standard of play, and I'm trying to go out there and play at a high level for the guys around me. We all do that. We all have that mentality.
And he knows things have got to improve. As we said, he ran in for a couple of scores, and they were able to convert a couple of two-point conversions, which if you had some cash on this game and you had the Bucks, you got screwed because the number was 6.5, and they wound up winning by 6. That's how that goes. The Giants take on the Rams on Sunday. Here was Saquon Barkley dealing with the ankle injury. And, yeah, it really bothered him, as you can imagine.
Being mad at myself, that's the only thing I could be right there. You know, mad at myself, mad at the world, mad at everybody. You just got hurt again. You know you're going to be out for how long, you don't know. So you're frustrated.
And we don't know. That's
you know
the
and
thing.
That really was because of an errant pass by Daniel Jones. That's why that happened.
The incompletion to the
yes.
left. Understood. So even still, it's still an accident, and it does stink. Giants-Rams on Sunday. It does look like Jones is in line to play. Here was Steve Nash yesterday after the Knicks, or rather the Nets, beat the T-Wolves in a preseason game by 6. Sounds like Nash not interested in the whole Kyrie saga anymore, as he was asked about the Kyrie Instagram post.
Were you apprised of what he was saying, and did that kind of jive with everything that he had told you, or did you find any of it surprising and startling?
To be honest, I didn't listen to it.
I thought that was interesting. And then he just kind of went on talking about how, you know, it's about who's here, which I agree with. But the fact that he didn't even look at it, if he didn't, I mean,
I'm sure
he says.
But like, I bet you he talked to Kyrie personally. You know?
I don't know about that.
I mean, I bet you that they're all sick of it.
Durant and Harden said they have not spoken to him.
They're oh, all
God,
sick
really?
Of
so
it.
Who knows?
They're sick of it 100%. Mm. You know, it's amazing. If you went around and you asked 10 basketball fans, and let's say they're Net fans. We'll call Jerry, you know, Evan and his dweebs, whatever. And you ask them, what would you do with Kyrie Irving right now? What is your answer?
Nothing. I don't know that there's anything I can do.
And the only reason I say this is because talking with some basketball fans yesterday, almost every single one of them said the same thing. Get rid of him.
Yeah,
get
how? We talked about this. But it's not that easy.
Just cut him. Get rid of him.
Cut him?
No, why would you do
Joe
that?
Joe Tsai's a gazillionaire. No.
Well, then why do you complain that they pay him half the money? Why do you want to pay him all the money?
Well, I'm not saying I didn't say that. I'm just saying, like, a lot of these guys that I was around yesterday are all like, just get rid of him. Just get rid of him.
But they can't. Because then what happens if the mandate changes or whatever? Or who the hell knows? What if he decides to get the shot? I don't know
why he can't wear a mask like they wear at the New York City Council meetings. Why can't they wear one of those
only
masks?
Only you can find the New York City Council meeting channel on TV.
But look at the mask she's wearing.
Natty, if we would rewind 3 years and then fast forward to today and you had no idea what happened in the middle and you turned this channel on,
right.
You would think it was the Jetsons or something.
Yeah, no, you are right.
But why wouldn't that mask work?
It's in the mask. Why don't you explain the mask? It's a mask.
I don't know how to explain the mask.
It's a mask where you could see her mouth moving. She's wearing a mask that's like a clear piece of plastic around her face.
But it's outlined in white.
Yeah.
She looks like a bird.
It looks ridiculous.
Doesn't she?
You've got the Subcommittee on Zoning and Franchises replay on right now.
Right.
This is what you're watching. On NewYorkCTV.gov.
Yeah. It just seems like it's very interesting.
Oh, is it?
Because you see a lot of weird things you never see before, and this mask being one of them. Would you not agree?
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I know. This is from like over a month ago, too.
Is that true? Oh, yeah, September 10th.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Man, put this on MSG. Stars beat the Rangers in overtime 3-2. Hurricanes over the Islanders 6-3. And the Devils tonight play the Blackhawks in their season opener. All right, what do you say we do Moment of the Day, which is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it.
Money!
Guys are finding it funny how much Brian in the overnight sounded like Francesa. Make sure I got the right one here.
Let me tell you something from my own experience, okay? As I explained prior, I became an EMT during the pandemic, okay? I was out there helping people. I experienced the coronavirus head on an ambulance. I've been on coronavirus floors in hospitals, okay? I've seen it firsthand. Take it from me. Everybody can tell you how serious it is. I've seen it firsthand. I've been in front of these things firsthand. I've seen it, okay?
I mean, is that not perfect?
That is perfect.
I've been there, okay? I have been there. I have seen the ventilators go in, okay? I have been there. I'm an EMT now, okay? So you can't tell me it's not real, okay? Because it's real.
And there'll be more of Francesa on the Fan in the Overnight coming up soon, as you said. There you go. Yeah. Moment of the Day.
He gets another shift coming up, and good for him.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
I was the only one without a losing record last week, but I didn't have a winning record. I was 2-2-1. Boomer was 1-3-1. Jerry was 1-3-1. But Boomer is still in first place. We are separated, all three of us, by two games. Boomer 2-11-2. Jerry in second, 11-12-2. 12-11-2. Jerry in second place, 11-12-2. And I'm in third place, 10-13-2. So this is mediocrity.
What were the prop bets like?
At its best. Prop bets last week, me and you both won. Jerry lost. So prop bets on the year. Both Boomer and I are 4-1 in our prop bets. Jerry 1-4.
Awesome.
With his prop bets. So, here we go. Week 6, Jerry, what you got? All right, we got 5 games for you, and if you listen to the warm-up show, 3 of them what we call cool games. We start with cool game number 1, Justin Herbert and the Chargers on the road in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens minus 2.5.
This might be a little bit of recency bias by me, but what I saw from Lamar Jackson was just absolutely incredible. I think he's playing the best football of his career. You got that whole West Coast thing coming across the country, 1 o'clock game, tough environment in Baltimore. I don't know. I think this is all Lamar Jackson showing up and then adding to an MVP resume again in this game. As great as the Chargers have been, I'm taking the Ravens in this one.
Really? Wow. You know, I think this is an upset. I think it's the Chargers are going to go on a road here, and they will win. And Justin Herbert has been money. He has beaten in back-to-back weeks Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, and it's going to continue right here with Lamar Jackson. I know Lamar's great, fine, and he'll probably put up huge numbers here. But I'm telling you, this wide receiving core, tight ends, and the passing game of the Chargers are unbelievable. And there's a new sheriff in town. His name's Justin Herbert. I'll take the Chargers.
I love everything you say, except that I'm going to agree with Greg, and I'm going to go with the guy who had what you called perhaps the best half of football ever, Lamar Jackson, on Monday night. I will take the Ravens minus the 2.5. Game number 2, also a cool game. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals on the road in Cleveland against Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Cleveland minus 3.5.
I think it's time for the Cardinals to lose. I think that this is it. I've seen both sides of the Browns the last couple of weeks. I saw them not able to do a damn thing offensively against Minnesota and then do whatever the hell they wanted offensively against the Chargers. I think that somewhere in between this week will be good enough. I think that Browns defense was embarrassed with themselves last week, and they come out and they don't let it happen again. So give me the Browns to beat the Cardinals and give them their first loss.
Earlier in the week, I was thinking, man, the Cardinals are pretty special. Kyler Murray's pretty special. And then I went back and started reading a little bit more about them. It doesn't look like Chandler Jones is going to be in this game.
No,
he's got COVID.
No.
And they got a couple other guys. I'm not sure who they are yet because I haven't seen them announced. that there's COVID running through the team. And by the way, Chandler Jones is in severe protocol, whatever the hell they're calling that.
Oh, he's vaccinated but has symptoms.
Yeah,
sure.
It's like strict protocol or whatever. So I don't know. I'm with you. You know, the Browns were embarrassed last week defensively. They're not going to be embarrassed this week. And I told you, the anti-Kyler Murray is Myles Garrett. I'm going to take the Browns, and I'll lay the 3 points.
I hate to agree with both of you, but I agree. I will take Cleveland minus 3.5. Game number three, the third of the three cool games. The Cowboys at Foxborough to take on the Patriots. Patriots at home getting 3.
The most confident picks that I've had this year have not worked out. I think when I've said best bet or felt really good about something, I've only been 1-2 in those games. But this is one of those games, man. I love the Cowboys in this game. Absolutely love them. I'm so tired of the Patriots. They're just so boring. I don't think they're any good. Talked about it before. The only two teams they beat were the Jets and the Texans, and they barely beat the Texans last week. And the Cowboys, to me, are a Super Bowl contender. I think this is I'm coming to collect my rent money in your stadium smackdown spot. Give me the Cowboys.
This is like when New Orleans went to go visit,
mm-hmm.
right? The Patriots. And we all thought, wow, maybe New Orleans coming off of a loss at the hands of the Panthers. They're going to be flat. Jameis this, Jameis that. Next thing you know, it was the New Orleans defense that shut down Mac Jones and that offense up there. I honestly got to agree with you. I think it is the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a runaway freight train, and they are an offense to be reckoned with. If there's anybody that could slow him down, it'd be Bill Belichick. I don't think they're going to be able to keep it within 3 points. So I'm going to take the Cowboys.
My money's on Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons and Dan Quinn. Cowboys minus 3.
Well, you're the voice of the Cowboys.
No, I'm not. Game number 4. Chiefs in Washington. The Washington football team getting 6.5.
I really like Washington this week. I know that they slapped together a ceremony for Sean Taylor, which is something that they should have spent more time on, and they're only doing it to basically deflect right now. But I don't know, man. The Chiefs are just so disappointing. Their defense stinks, and every time I pick them, they screw me. So I'm not going to pick them. I think for the first time this year, we see that effort from the Washington football defense we have been waiting on. And they don't win the game, but they cover. It's going to be 27-23, Kansas City.
Not a chance. Kansas City scoring over 30 points. You know that. I know that. And everybody else in football knows that. The question is whether or not Taylor Heineke is going to make a stupid interception. It's a good story, but how many times does he make key mistakes in games? I'm taking the Chiefs to roll all the way here as the blowout city.
Now, I don't think he did know that because he said 23.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. I will take. You've changed my mind talking about the Washington defense today, so I will take Kansas City as well, minus the 6.5. And the Rams come to MetLife Stadium, take on the Giants. The Giants at home are getting 9.5 points.
Oh, man. This is do we leave at halftime spot?
Oh God. Don't say that.
This is a let's tailgate, do we go in? That's what the questions are going to be asking. I'm sorry, but this is. I'd love for Daniel.
You don't think this is a letdown spot?
No, it's not. I'd love to see Daniel Jones come back healthy and go off and shock the world and then maybe give us a little Giants juice, but it's not going to happen. I mean, the Rams are a well-coached team with too much talent. If you're picking the Giants in this game, it's only to be a contrarian. That's it. That's the only reason to pick the Giants. Give me the Rams.
Really?
Your pick of the Giants?
I mean, they get, 9.5 points?
Yeah, who cares? Give them 90.5.
I think that might be a little much. I'll take the Giants.
You know what?
You're taking the Giants?
I am.
I'm taking the 9.5 and the Giants. No, because you know what? Hold on, time out. I did say on national television that the Giants can turn New Year's Eve into a funeral. I did say that, and I want to own it. I want to own it.
So now you're picking the Rams. Right.
You just told me about L.A., 1 o'clock game. Plus, Al's telling me Mike Glennon, Daniel Jones, no difference. Booker and Saquon, no difference. I'll take the Giants, plus the 9.5 points. And there you have it for week 6. We do our prop bets.
Yes, we are going to do our prop bets. My prop bet is going to be in this game. And I'm going to go Matthew Stafford over 14.5 passing touchdowns. No. Over 2.5 passing touchdowns.
All right.
Over 2.5. And that's plus 155. So that's some good value there if you're interested in that.
I'm going to one of your buzz games from earlier when we were talking about it, Cincinnati and Detroit. I'm going to go under 282 yards for Joe Burrow.
I'm going to have to go back and get that now because I went off of it to get mine. But you want under Joe Burrow passing yards,
yes,
correct?
Yes. All right. It's like 282, 283 and a half, something like that, you said.
And I'm taking Davis Mills under 212 and a half as they play at Indianapolis, the Texans.
Okay, the Joe Burrow is 282 and a half.
I'm going under with that.
All right. Under Joe Burrow, 282 and a half. All right. That is it for the week 6 picks.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.